The Royal Man Report, presented by Kelly's Westport Inn, with Casey Royal Man, Mike Engel, and fake Ned Yost, produced by Aaron Gnerk. Outro by Andre and the Giants. And now, the Royal Man Report.
And welcome into the Royal Man Report. I am Troy Olson, a.k.a. KC Royal Man. And I hope you all are having a great day. It is 50 degrees in December again. Woo! In Kansas City. And I don't quite know what to do with myself. I was out looking to see if Rustin had gotten here yet and out there in a short-sleeve t-shirt. Mind you, the same short-sleeve t-shirt that Fake Ned is wearing. Apparently, we have similar taste in clothing here. If you're watching online at royalmanreport.com from 7 to 8 p.m. on Sundays, you can see the happy dance that Fake Ned is doing in our matching shirts.
He's been doing that all day, too.
Yes.
For the last, like, half hour, he's just been a dancing machine.
Of course, that was Fake Ned standing next to me, and that sexy voice comes from my cohort in this mess of a crime, Mike Engel.
That was an awkward phrase, but yeah, I'm here. What's up, everybody out there?
And of course, Jeff Herr.
As always, how's it going?
I guess now the second newest member of the show, as we added Sam Zappanero officially to the show last week. She is out with God only knows what, because she's awesome and probably has a way more exciting life than we do. So you got the four of us. Eventually, we'll have Rustin Dodd in studio. He's either lost or just hasn't made it here yet, but at some point he will be here. But until then, we're going to give you the best in Kansas City sports that we can offer. May not be the best that can be offered, but it's the best we can offer. So there you go.
That seems fitting. That seems like Kansas City sports of the last about 10
like
years.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
You know, let's freak everybody out again and lead off with the Chiefs again. We've been done that a couple of weeks now, but I guess it is football season, so it only makes sense, and they're actually doing something right.
Well, they beat the Packers, so I think you have to kind of at least acknowledge it. Like, I'm not a Chiefs fan, but it's kind of cool that they beat the Packers, who would have otherwise probably gone undefeated. So I guess Mercury Morris and the rest of the 72 Dolphins can pop the cork again. They're undefeated. Season is safe.
They're kind of jerks about that, too.
Yeah, so they are.
I would really like to see that record fall. I was glad it didn't fall to New England, but I wouldn't have mind seeing it fall to the Packers. But cool that Kansas City can be part of history in a season that has not been very historic, but still in the playoff hunt with the Tebows losing and the Raiders losing now. So,
Have they officially renamed the Broncos the Tebows?
They
yet?
May as well, because apparently the defense doesn't matter, even though it's been the defense that has carried them the last few weeks. Now, Jeff, you have an opinion on this win, though. You're not as happy as one might think.
No, I'm not. And the reason for that is because, I mean, like, this year I've reached a level of, I should say, discontent with the Chiefs that is much further than any season that I can recall. And part of it is just going through the same old thing over and over and over again. And this is just another, Chiefs do this every year, it seems, where they finally get bad enough. We say, hey, we think they're going to turn the organization around. They're going to draft a quarterback. They're going to get the right coach in here. They're going to make things happen. And then they go and do something like this, and they beat the Packers, and they look great. They did. They look great today. And they're going to say, you know what? Maybe we can win with Kyle Orton. You know what? Maybe Romeo Crennel's our guy. And you know what? Maybe they are. I guess it's possible. But the idea that they actually are based on this game, even if they go and, you know, win another game or look good in the next two games, you know, even based on that, I still don't know if they're going to solve our problems. And they probably won't. And it's just going to be, you know, 2 years from now, we're going to be in the same position, and the Chiefs are going to be 4-10 again, and they're going to say, hey, you know, how are we going to fix this? And it's just, it happens every year, it seems.
You know how they're going to fix it if it happens again in 2 years? You're going to fire Pioli, because he's not going to draft a quarterback.
That's very true.
He was married to hires of Haley and Castle. He gave Castle that big contract, which Kansas City is to blame for that. You realize that, right? Had we not broken Brady in game one, what was it, 3 years ago now?
Yep.
Castle would still be a has-been backing up Tom Brady in New England. But no, we had to go break Tom Brady and show that Castle actually had skills, apparently better skills in New England than here. But just looking at the whole thing, if I tweeted out earlier that from my Casey Royal Man account that if Pioli and Haley both could have been grown men about this and actually done something that was for the betterment of the franchise, Pioli and what I believe should have signed more players in the offseason, should have given us what we need for depth, did not do that, along with Haley actually coaching the team, because I don't feel like he really did anything to make Pioli look good, this team would be in first in the division, no doubt in my mind. But neither of those two did anything to put this team into a position where they could win.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at it, and I mean, would we have won the Steelers game? You know, if Todd Haley hadn't been so stubborn on the Tyler Palko thing. You know what? I mean, there's a really good chance that we would have, because, I mean, that game was just a few plays away from turning the Chiefs' favor, and it didn't happen.
I think what it goes to show, though, in any respect, is how freaking bad is Todd Haley as a coach. If Romeo Crennel could come in with 15 minutes to prepare and beat an undefeated team, that just, I don't know. Tell me.
See, I don't think that's You're necessarily wrong. A reflection on Haley, but because my personal
How
opinion
is
just
that.
Not
a reflection on Haley. He refused to put in the quarterback that gave us the best chance to win.
I should rephrase. It's not a reflection on Haley as a coach so much as it is a reflection on Haley and his ability to handle a poor situation. That situation was toxic, and he handled it horribly, as did Pioli. So I think the blame's pretty equal between those two. But handling it as poorly as he did included starting Tyler Palko, all that kind of stuff. But I still think that Todd Haley is a good football coach. Just because Romeo Crennel was able to come in here and rally the troops and win this game doesn't
change
that.
He's an outstanding game manager. I think he's a really good coach. But, I mean, I'm a good dancer, but I'm not trying out for the Rockettes either. So,
and I also agree that, I mean, you know.
I got moves, baby. You want to see them? Let's go.
Record time.
That's
and we're off the rails.
Yes.
Here we go.
Now, so Fake Net is dancing in studio, but Mike and I were just laughing back and forth because we're watching this exchange between these two. And paint the picture for you here if you're not watching on the camera. Ned's sitting in a chair that's way too short. All of a sudden, Jeff says something that excites him. He hops out of the chair. They're sharing a mic because we have a mic ready for Rustin, and who's supposed to be here in about 5 minutes, by the way. They're sharing a mic, so they're going back and forth on this mic. And I just look over at Mike and throw my arms up. I'm like, I'm just going to let him go until
you gotta let it ride.
Let it go.
Yeah, I mean.
Which, sooner you people realize that I'm 100% correct about everything, the better off we're all going to be.
I mean, what you just had in the last 5 minutes was radio, was podcast gold, is all I've got to say. That's all I got to say. Gold.
And I got I just got a sound bite out of it with him saying that everything he, as soon as we learn that everything he says is right, we're in good shape.
It's going in the intro. There you go.
Start spreading the news.
Oh, wow. Well, we're off the rails.
Anyway,
here.
Let's talk about some of
these topics.
Back to baseball.
Some of these topics we talked about with Sam Mellinger the other day, especially the Haley and Pioli impasse and how the two sides couldn't come together and make a compromise. So go back and get his opinion. If you haven't heard that show, it's really good stuff. Sam was great to give us a good chunk of his time, came all the way out to the Fake Ned Man Cave and, you know, got us some good stuff. You know, he's a great guest, and we'll gladly have him on again. We also talked some Royals stuff in that special interview. So go back and check that out. Yeah. Chiefs fire. I'm astounded at Fake Ned's just,
that was way better than what I said.
Well, I don't know what the heck.
I don't even know what's
people
going on.
People are asking
here
you to
anymore.
Do the truffle shuffle in the chat room. So
we get a truffle.
Man, at least don't do that.
Crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you.
I don't know what that was. I don't think that was a truffle shuffle.
I don't think they can quite. This is out of control. Anyways, back to the show.
Real stuff.
We're on every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. live at RoyalManReport.com. We do have a chat room and a video cast. Check it out if you haven't already. If you're not today, obviously you're missing out on this disaster that is Fake Ned Yost. On top of that, I do try to put these up on YouTube at YouTube.com/RoyalManReport. So check that out as well. I'll get up what I can there. Also, you can get our show on Stitcher Radio and many other places, iTunes, all that good stuff. Make sure you plus one us, thumbs up us, flip us off, whatever you need to do to make to make the show go up a little higher.
Oh, they are.
Definitely, if you got a second, go to podomatic.com/RoyalManReport, or I think it's RoyalManReport.podomatic.com, actually.
Yes.
And just like us on there. That's like our home site for where we store the podcast. And we're actually like a top 200 podcast on there, and they've got tens of thousands of podcasts. So keep thumbing us up there, and that'll keep bumping us up and give more people – it'll bring more people to this great program and let them enjoy what you're enjoying. Follow us on Twitter, Royal Man Report. Of course, you can follow me, Casey Royal Man, Fake Ned Yost, The Jeff Report, Mike Engel. Follow our family site, I guess, the Kings of Kaufman. I don't even know what to call Kings of Kaufman anymore. It used to be just that they were...
We'll call it the home of the Royal Man Report.
There we go. That works, too. Yep. And, of course, check out our friends at Kelly's, who are not our sponsors, but our partners. They've been very good to us over the years. So check out our friends at Kelly's Westport Inn. They're open till 3 a.m. every day, and they have pizza for $2 on Saturday or on Sundays and Monday nights.
By the way, we have somebody new in the chat room by the name of Husker Insanity. And, honestly... He's asked for a Husker report. So, Troy, I'm going to give you 2 minutes for a Husker report. Can you give it to him in 2 minutes? Nothing's going on in Nebraska, so clearly it won't even take 2 minutes.
Right. This is the Husker report as I understand it right now. The Huskers got in some legal trouble last week. There was three of them that were in trouble. Those three, everybody on the team has been Turner Guild and is not allowed to play on Twitter anymore until all this clears.
At least they haven't been Sandusky.
Right. So. That's very true.
Oh, too soon.
Oh, boy.
So that's what's happening in Nebraska sports, because we all know that only Nebraska football matters. So
no.
In other news, in basketball, last I checked, they were like the number four team out of the tournament 3 weeks into the season. So there's that. So now we could definitely do. I would love to do a Husker podcast throughout the year, and it's definitely something that we've looked at. It's a time issue right now, but we'll definitely look at it going forward. And if that's something that people want, you know, email us at royalmanreport.com. Let us know that that's the kind of stuff you want. We're going to open this up past baseball very, very soon. That was something that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. So I'm going to actually throw this over to Mike to take us to break. If you just want to run down what's going on, I'm pretty sure Rustin's calling me.
All right. Well, one of the minor transactions that happened in the last week, Mario Santiago, who has pitched in the AA and AAA, he was released from his minor league contract, and he's going to go pitch in Korea. There's also been some reports out of Boston that the Red Sox have inquired on Joaquin Soria as Fake Ned takes over Troy's spot in the lead chair.
Ooh, he's even got the headphones on.
This will be interesting. And that's kind of the big news of the week. I hope you're watching right now on live stream. Because
this is Troy Olson. I'm Casey Royalman. We're on the Royalman Report.
Fake Ned's never going to be invited.
He's tired from doing the truffle shuffle.
Oh, did he do it? Did I miss it?
It wasn't really. It was like an inverted running man more so than a truffle shuffle.
And Husker do. And 14 other Twitter accounts. Oh, I'm out of breath.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so
we're just going to go to break because Fake Ned has destroyed everything. We'll see you on the other side.
Trimming the tree.
Opening presents.
Plaza lights.
Sitting on Santa's lap.
Christmas morning.
Christmas carolers.
Holiday decorations.
The wonder in a child's eye.
Sleigh bells.
Lighting the candles.
Snow days.
Holiday decorations.
Long lines at Walmart.
Your kids' holiday program.
Snow days.
0 degrees.
Christmas music on the radio just after Halloween.
Shoveling snow.
Snow days.
Scraping frosty windows.
They're out of the doll she wanted.
Your in-laws are here.
You got me socks.
Black Friday.
Personal property taxes due.
Your in-laws are still here.
Your mother-in-law taped Whitney instead of the bowl game.
Grandpa farted.
Had enough Christmas? Tired of the holidays? Kelly's Westport Inn has every bowl game on this season. There's plenty of cold beers on tap, a private heated roof you can put your mother-in-law in. It's just down the street at 500 Westport Road. Christmas is just a little easier at Kelly's Westport Inn. Merry Christmas and a happy holidays from the Royal Man Report.
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. We're waiting on Rustin Dodd from the Kansas City Star to show up. Our studio's in kind of a weird location if you haven't ever been here, so I think Troy is trying to guide him home. We're going to talk a little bit about the Royals there. Some other minor league news for the Royals. They signed 4 players to minor league contracts in the last week. Some of those guys are, you might recognize the names, but a lot of them are just kind of filler. They're just depth for the minor leagues. Guys like Greg Golson, he played for the Yankees and Rangers and the Phillies in the past. He's kind of one of those guys who he's got a lot of tools, but he's never really put it together. And Figman scurries away from Troy's chair. The Royals also signed Max Ramirez, who was a decent catching prospect for the Rangers, but again, another guy who's never really put it together. He'll probably back up Manuel Pena in Omaha is going to be the main thing for him. And they signed a couple of pitchers, it looks like. There's trying to make sure I pronounce the name right. His name is Francisly Bueno. A left-handed pitcher, and Juan Gutierrez. So a couple of minor league signings recently.
The Royals have to have some of the best names in all of sports.
They really do.
Did we talk about Greg Golston?
Yes.
Okay, first off, his last name kind of sounds like mine. I like that, first off. Second off,
of course you do.
Did we talk about the fact that he was a favorite of Jason Park's on Up and In?
Oh, yeah, they love him there. He's apparently, he's got a winning smile that sets their hearts aflutter.
If I remember right, the episode that they were talking about him on, somebody had emailed in and said that every time Jason says a certain player is sexy, it makes him sound gay. Or whatever, homosexual,
well,
female,
whatever.
And so, of course,
did you just equate homosexual and female?
No, he said female.
Oh, okay. What? Well, that makes sense.
It wasn't me that Greg, because they had said that he likes the whole sexy term. Jason does, so he goes overboard and he talks about how he's got a winning smile and he's got sexy power and sexy tools, and so he's got all the tools in all seriousness. And it'll be interesting to see if he comes back, because outfield's not really a position the Royals need, so it could be just a kind of a riches type deal that they can trade off. But I was glad to see them sign another catcher, but ironically another Rangers catcher. We seem to be picking off their catchers every now and then.
Yeah,
the Royals don't have very many catchers in the system, so it was good to see them doing that as well.
They have a lot that are in the lower levels, but they don't have a lot that are kind of in that double A, triple A level. I mean, there's Sal Perez, of course, and Brian Pena at the major league level, but now we've got Manuel Pena, who played a little bit in Kansas City last year, but he's pretty much, I don't know that he's going to be up with the Royals unless Sal Perez gets hurt. It's just rare for teams to carry two catchers with that little experience in the major leagues.
They're talking about the Royal Man Report drinking game in the chat room. Again, from 7 to 8 p.m. every Sunday, you can chat with us.
I think Fake Ned Yost won.
Yeah. Every time Troy stumbles into political correctness drink. Exactly. It does exist, and we've had it out. We'll put it up on the website again here.
I'm not putting it out on the website. You guys can find it.
I'll find a link for it somewhere. So I think Rustin Dodd has found his way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rustin Dodd, put your hands together. Come on in, man.
Rustin, come on in and take a seat. We'll get you right in here.
Clean your chair off for you.
Fake Ned's clearing the path here for Rustin
He's my
Dodd.
Favorite.
He's your favorite?
He's my favorite of all the writers in the world.
I'm glad you didn't share that when Sam was in studio.
Steinbeck, Rustin Dodd, and Sam Mellinger.
All right, there you go. So Rustin Dodd joins us. He's from the KC Star, does Ball Star, took over for Mellinger in 2010, and he takes over the guest seat from Mellinger here on the Royal Man Report. Rustin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, no, thank you for coming on. So I guess just we were looking around online trying to find a good Rustin Dodd bio. It does not exist. So, Rustin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, good question. I grew up actually in Overland Park. I'm a Johnson County kid. Don't hold it against me, I guess. But I think I'm the only one of those that actually works at the Star. And then I went to school in Lawrence and been working at the Star for about 2 years, 2.5 years almost.
Now, when you say you went to school in Lawrence, I assume you're referring to that place that has the Jayhawks as a mascot.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's
yeah.
The University of Kansas.
The University of Kansas.
You can. It's. You can say it.
Who, by the way, if you're listening to this show early, it'll be up late Sunday night, Monday morning. If you're listening, shoot us a tweet at Royal Man Report. And if you're going to the KU game on Monday night, because myself, Jeff Herr, Mike Engel, and Bill Ivey of I-70 Sports got tickets from my awesome employer, Perceptive Software, and we're going to go see some basketball tomorrow night at the Sprint Center. So definitely got that going for us.
Should be pretty cool. I've never been to the Sprint Center.
So
I'm really pumped about that.
Can't imagine it's going to match any kind of the atmosphere you'd get at Allen Fieldhouse, but
you guys didn't want me to go?
I actually sent an email out that did not allow Mr. Kamler to go because he's a Mizzou guy. So, Rustin, you you write for the paper on the Royals, and it also looks like you do a lot of high school sports.
That's right, yeah.
So what you write, what's your favorite that you write? Is it more the high school stuff, or do you really enjoy the pro stuff, or do they each have their own niche?
Yeah, I mean, I like doing everything, but, I mean, obviously covering the Royals can be... you know, it's a lot different than covering high schools for sure. But, you know, I just kind of like doing, you know, longer stories and more interesting stuff, whatever's interesting, I guess. I mean, that's a terrible answer, but obviously high schools and Royals are a little bit different. But I do like doing the Royal stuff.
Did you come up knowing you wanted to be a sports writer? Or was that something that you just knew you wanted to be a journalist and then you kind of got into sports later?
You know, actually, I think it was more, I didn't really even know I wanted to get into sports writing until I got to college. But I think once I got there and started working for the student newspaper, I just kind of really liked it and thought, man, like, this is a way I could watch sports for a living and get paid. And, you know, I liked the writing part of it too. So I was like, I think this fits me. So that's kind of how it went.
Definitely now, jealous, by the way.
we're all wannabe sports writers right here, yeah, so you kind of have the life that we want.
I deal with my medical
saying.
Billing job that has nothing to do with anything I went to school
exactly.
for.
They're wannabe sports writers. I'm a wannabe radio guy. Let's just get that straight.
I don't want to be anything.
he just wants to be...
Except for the real fake, or real Ned, yes.
Sober.
Yeah, he just wants to be breathing in the morning after a night out, so... Rustin Dodd, for those of you who have been following the Royal Man Report for a while, you know Brian McGannon, who is a friend of the program. He had a top 20 Royals Twitterers, and both Mike and I were on there. I don't know, Jeff, were you on that list?
I don't think so.
Okay,
no.
That you weren't very much in Twitter, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm newer to the Twitter scene.
Was I on that list?
I think Fake Ned was number one.
Oh, no!
Rustin Dodd was also on that list.
Wasn't Shyam number one?
Shyam was number two. He would have been number one on my list.
Shyam was not number one.
No, Fake Ned was number one.
Rustin should have been higher. You should have been like two.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta deal with the Royals tweets from time to time, and then you gotta comb through some live tweeting from a, you know, Schlegel Harmon game on a Friday night. So maybe that I wouldn't want to follow myself on those nights,
which is enthralling stuff, by the way.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, yeah.
But the cool thing about Twitter is, depending on what app you use, like if you use it on your phone, Tweetcaster, you can actually zip people for a night or two nights or whatever. And so if somebody didn't like your college football or your high school basketball stuff, I really can talk, then they could zip you on those nights and get by it. But definitely worth a follow. Check him out, Rustin Dodd. So let's talk some Royals since you're here, and that's kind of what you do. We'll get to that. So Matt Moore gets a 5-year deal that could be worth up to $40 million through 2019. What's your thoughts on Alex Gordon getting something similar, or what kind of deal could we expect to see for Alex Gordon, and do you think it'll get done?
You know, that's a good question. I was thinking about before I came in here, like off-season storylines and everything that's going down and what else could happen this off-season. And I think, yeah, the Alex Gordon deal, you know, I think it's a January signing if it happens. That seems to be kind of the consensus. And if you look at kind of the past track record of guys they've signed, you know, when did they sign Billy last year? Was it right before the Fan Fest, which is generally in January?
Yeah, I think it was right in the middle. I think it was the day of the award show.
Yeah, so I mean, it was mid-January. So that's the timetable. And I think, you know, last year when Alex came out and said that he wanted to stay in Kansas City long-term, you know, during that season, and then he said, you know, and then the Royals obviously said they wanted to, you know, have him. I think ever since then, I bet there's been some talks. I don't know how serious it's been. But I think there's also kind of a pushback saying, you know, each side has to negotiate. So, you know, they're not going to come out and be, you know, oh, yeah, we would love to have Alex here. And Alex isn't going to say, you know, oh, you know, I give you a hometown discount, you know. So I think since then you've heard the public comments mostly saying, you know, well, you know, we've got time. You know, he's got 2 more years of arbitration or, you know, whatever. So I think – but it seems like if you just look at Dayton Moore's history, you know, look at the three guys he signed to, you know, 3-4-year deals, you know, Joaquin Soria, Zach Greinke, and then Billy Butler. And I think anybody that's been worth signing for a 3- or 4-year deal, they've done it. So – you know, would it shock me if it didn't happen? No, but I think January is when it would go down.
there was an article about that Mike caught about Soria being batted to Boston before Boston made the deals earlier this week. They did, but it said that the Royals are asking too much than Boston wants to pay. Of course, everybody in the Dayton Moore administration are very tight-lipped. That's one thing we talk about a lot on here. You being covering the Royals a little closer, do you have anything on that, or have you heard kind of what the Royals would be looking for a guy like Soria?
I think they just want an impact starting pitcher. Now, what's the definition of impact? You know, I don't know. But, I don't think the Red Sox want to part with any of their starters. I mean, look at what their rotation did last year at the end of the year. I mean, they're still struggling to make the playoffs in the AL East. So, and I don't know what the Red Sox have as far as guys that are almost ready. I don't think they have a lot of that. I could be wrong, but... I think they'd have to part with one of their starting pitchers, and go down the list. I mean, who do the Red Sox have as starting pitchers right now? I mean, they're not going to part with Buckles. They're not going to part with Lester. And, I don't think Soria's worth that anyways. But those guys, they're safe. And then the other guys they have, Lackey, and you go on down the list. I mean, those guys don't really fit with the Royals. So I just think if you're going to trade Soria, you're either going to get – I think the Royals would want to get a young starting pitcher in return. You know, how good is he? I don't know. But I don't know that the Red Sox really fit with what the Royals want.
Well, we're gonna go pay some bills here in just a few seconds. But on our way out, I want to give a shout-out to our chat room that is popping tonight. Once again, Sunday night, 7 to 8 p.m., it's really rocking in there. We got some great folks in there and friends of Rambling Morons. Lori from Rambling Morons is in there. First-timers, that longtime followers of ours, future Mrs. A1, Jenny Marie, is in the chat room tonight. She's a lot of fun, and if you guys don't follow her on Twitter, you're missing out on a great female Royals perspective. So check her out on Twitter as well. We're going to be right back on the other side with a lot more of the Russ and Dodd. We're going to talk about the new signings and other potential trades, and we got a lot more coming to you on the other side. Be right back.
Tell me if this might describe your situation. You're a Royals fan. You have been your whole life. It's been a long road, but you think the team is about to turn the corner. But then, it's the winter, and your wife starts to nag you about how much football you're watching. She says she wants to be fair. She says you need to rake the leaves. Suddenly, everything you've worked for is all on the table. The television, the DVR, the case of beer. Might I suggest to you another alternative? You need to go down and have a cold beverage at Kelly's Westport Inn. Hell, bring the wife along. If it doesn't work out, it's been named one of the top places to pick up single guys. Maybe you'll both get lucky. Whatever you do, get out of the house. Get down to Kelly's Westport Inn. The choice of a laid-back bar is an important one, and should not be made solely on podcast advertising alone. Kelly's Westport Inn and the Royal Man Report, partners you can count on.
And welcome back into the Royal Man Report. I am, of course, Casey Royal Man, joined in a full house, of course, with Fake Ned Yost, the Jeff Report, also known as Jeff Herr, Michael Engel, who's also known as Michael Engel, and Rustin Dodd, whose Twitter handle is, ironically enough, Rustin Dodd. So follow all of us on Twitter. We really appreciate it. And, of course, follow the Royal Man Report. As we close up this year, this will be our last live show, just so everybody knows, until at least the first. But we're probably not going to do one on the first either. We may do something out to Kelly's. Because if the Chiefs can actually win these next two games, well, win next week, and Denver somehow chokes next week against the Bills, it means that Denver Chiefs game is potentially for the division title, and we'll definitely be at Kelly's watching that. We may try to do a live broadcast from there.
I will tell you that the Rambling Morons podcast will be doing a live remote from Kelly's, so the Royal Man Report and the Soundtrack of the Week are more than welcome to join us.
So it sounds like the details are getting in place for the next Super Show. We hadn't hammered it down yet, but I guess we are doing one.
I will be drinking at a table. You guys can do whatever the heck you guys want to.
So yes. Rustin's last Royals article involved, as we were talking about before, four minor leaguers. We've talked about them all a little bit before Rustin got here, but we're going to let Rustin join in as well. Juan Gutierrez, left-hander Francisly Bueno, and catcher Matt Ramirez, along with Greg Golston, who, of course, has the sexy numbers, according to Jason Parks of Up and In. But, Rustin, can you tell us a little more about those four guys or what you found that was interesting on any of these guys?
Well, aside from having the crazy last name, I don't think he's pitched in professional baseball for for a while now. So I don't know, these guys, the latest signings, the minor league guys, weren't as interesting to me for some reason. You know, I know, you know, they want a utility guy, so any guy that has those skills, I guess you got to pay attention to. But as far as the other ones, this round of signings, you know, they signed like seven guys December 1st. Tommy Hotovy, who's the local guy, they signed him. I know you guys know him. And then there were some other guys that were interesting that time. This time, I don't know, just organizational depth, and I'm not sure that these, you know, four guys are going to, you know, do much. We'll see if any of them get an invite to spring training. These guys didn't really stick out like they would. But who knows, they might.
I just hope that the Royals can do with Greg Olson like they've done with Frank Gore and Cabrera and some of these other guys that were nothing guys, it seemed like, that they were done. And then they come to Kansas City, and I don't know what it is about this place and hitters, but we've seemed to revitalize a few careers. Hopefully we can get Golson's jump started, because he's got all the skills.
He's never really done anything, though, so it's not like he's coming back like Frank Gore has, or, you know, Melky at least had some league average years. Golson, I don't know how much he's even played in the majors. But it's always interesting because it's worth taking a shot with it. I mean, you sign him to a minor league contract. The worst thing, you know, is he takes up some at bats in Omaha.
You know, and another thing, and I don't know if this is right, but at least this is my opinion. You know, they brought all those guys up last year, and the next wave of true talent, of like real legit major league talent, is behind it, but it's almost like a year and a half or 2 years behind. Mm-hmm. And you saw it kind of with. I mean, Omaha won the title with some of their other guys. Some guys that was surprising they won the title with. You know, Luis Mendoza putting up like a 2, you know, something ERA. But there, at the end of the year, there wasn't a lot of guys at Omaha, and there's going to be some guys obviously making the jump from Northwest Arkansas to Omaha. But you don't see, it's not like there's a team at Omaha. So I think there's places at Omaha for guys that have talent that they could stash people there. That maybe have potential. So I think that might be part of it too.
Kind of along the same lines of acquisitions, a lot of talk on Twitter this week about Matt Latos. A lot of people wanted the Royals to go all in on Matt Latos. And it looks like that's what it took for the Reds to get him. Edison Volquez plus two well-regarded prospects, catcher Yasmani Grandal and right-hander Brad Boxberger, along with Yonder Alonso, was what went to San Diego for Matt Latos.
Well, the Jim Bowden from ESPN had a report that, and he was just coming up with like five trades that could or should happen, and the trade that he pitched was something like Aaron Crow, Jake Odorizzi, and I forget who the third player involved was, but trading those guys to get Matt Latos. And
was it Blake Wood? Sorry, I think.
Yeah, it was Blake Wood. Yeah, and it turns out that would not have been anywhere near what it took, because in Yonder Alonso, if Joey Votto wasn't there in Cincinnati, he'd be their first baseman every day. You know, he's been their best hitting prospect for 2 years now. Yasmani Grandal was a first-round pick. He was someone that the Royals were linked to going into the draft before they drafted Christian Colon. So, you know, a lot of talent, plus Volquez could always come back. He's had success before. And Brad Boxberger is a potential closer type. So the Padres really, I mean, I would say they won the trade, but the Reds are probably going to end up winning their division too, because, you know, they have a good offense, and now they have two really good starters. And, you know, they just need maybe a closer, and that's what they, you know, they're set.
Is that kind of along the same lines of what you were seeing with that, or
were Well, when the trade went down, I was trying to, you know, piece it together in my mind and think of a comparable guy from the Royals organization to think about the haul that would have been. You know, Will Myers, I think, is on a different level than anybody in that trade. But there are guys, you know, I think Grandal, you know, he was the guy, the same draft class as Colon, and I don't know what his minor league numbers have been like, but I don't know that they've been terrific. Maybe they have been, but maybe Colon, you throw him in there as Grandal, and then you have, you know, two or three other guys. Maybe, you know, we don't have a good comparable guy for Alonso, maybe Clint Robinson, but he's not quite Alonso's level, you know. So, but you're looking at it, and you're looking at a legit, you know, decent pitcher, couple decent prospects, and another guy. I mean, that's a lot to give up. So, I think There's two ways to look at it as far as when you're thinking about a trade. And, you know, I don't know about Matt Latos, but if you're just thinking in general about you know, if the Royals, you know, want to make a move this year and give up some guys. And I guess the argument against it is that the free agent class next year is just so good that you might be able to, one, you'll have time to see how your young guys do before that free agent class comes. So you can maybe, if you really need somebody, then you can go out and sign some guy. Also, maybe somebody's going to be available on the trade deadline in June or July that the Royals could acquire then if they really are legit, if they really are playing well. So I think they kind of just want to keep that flexibility open in the rotation for some of the younger guys just to see what they can do before this free agent class comes next year.
So that leads to the question that with your background with the Royals, do you see them making any sort of a trade like that before the season, or do you see that it's going to be mid-season before anything happens if this team happens to be for real a year or two early?
Well, everything I've heard in the last couple weeks since the winter meetings and even a little bit before is that it talks had kind of cooled as far as if they could make a trade or if they were still going to aggressively pursue something. You know, I think after they signed Chen and Sanchez, there wasn't as much of a need. And I think when they went out and talked to teams, they realized what they were going to have to give up. And I think it made them sit back and say, okay, maybe we don't want to do this. I think, you know, last year around the summertime or late summer when they were coming out and saying that they would think about trading prospects, I really think they really wanted to take a hard look at guys like James Shields or Gio Gonzalez. And I think they did, but I just don't think it, in their mind, that it fit, you know, the long-term plan of the guys they would have had to give up. I mean, what did the talk was that the Marlins called the A's and asked for Gio Gonzalez. The A's said, okay, we'll start with Mike Stanton. I mean, so that's what they were, the Royals, that's the same market the Royals were in. I mean, anybody they would have called, they would have said, okay, start with Will Myers. You know, that was right about the time that he was tearing up the Arizona Fall League. So I just think everything kind of came together. They signed some guys. They got Sanchez. They got Chen. And I just don't think it kind of came together like they thought they would or thought it would.
Yeah, it's a weird trade market. And I think the only person I've ever seen all offseason in trade rumors is Will Myers. Every team's asking about Will Myers. So I think it's the right move to just stand pat and not give up anything, because you never know. I mean, Will Myers might tear it up this year. He might come up in September. I mean, it's a long shot, but it's possible. Plus, you know, if he starts next year, if somebody gets hurt, if some other trade comes around and they have the opportunity, you don't want to blow up the farm system for your top hitting prospect for a guy that might not actually help you right now and is iffy to help you next year too.
And I think there's also, it's important to remember that there's still a little bit of, we don't really know what we have with the Royals right now, because like everyone's kind of down on Mike Montgomery, and rightfully so. He had a poor year last year in AAA, but you know, just one poor year doesn't mean he's going to be a poor pitcher. He can still come up and do something. He can turn things around. You know, Aaron Crow could fit into the starting rotation. So there's still other options out there that the Royals can afford to take another year and kind of look at that and see, well, you know, if Montgomery has another bad year, then it's like, okay, now we, you know, things aren't quite in the hopper like we thought. Maybe we do need to make a trade. So they've still got that going for him, I think.
Now, if you were kind of talking about some of the moves that the Royals supposedly need to make, may make, utility infielder has been one that's been batted around. Do you see the Royals going out and either signing a free agent utility infielder or trading for somebody, or are they going to look inside for that as well?
It's a good question. I haven't, you know, personally talked to anybody about this, but, you know, the feeling I get was that, you know, they wanted some veteran guy, you know, and the names that were being thrown around were, to me at least, seemed a little like they didn't fit. You know, you were talking about Edgar Renteria and some other guys like that. Apparently Renteria, though, is a very good guy, a very good clubhouse guy. You know, would he want to come to Kansas City and be a part-time player? I mean, he's old. And he's at the later stages of his career. But I think they are interested in a guy like him. Obviously, he's a name. But somebody with a similar skill set, somebody with a long time in the big leagues, somebody that can play shortstop. I mean, they need a guy that can play shortstop to you know, back up Escobar. I mean, he's going to play almost every day, but he can't play, you know, 160 games, or at least you can't count on him. You'd like to keep him, you know, at least give him a day off every couple of weeks. But so that's the biggest thing. You know, who's that guy going to be? There's names out there, but you know, I think that's kind of the big thing they want to get accomplished in the next couple of weeks into January.
Yeah, I think Orlando Cabrera was another name that I'd seen, which I think he'd be good because he could play either of the middle infield spots. The Renteria idea is really weird to me because he's played all but maybe 8 innings in his major league career at shortstop, which is really strange that a lot of people are calling him a utility infielder, but I think he's played third base in the minors, and that's it. So it's kind of strange. But I think he'd be a good fit, too, just because, you know, Escobar can't play every day. And if he does get hurt, the Royals don't have an immediate replacement for him. They've got, you know, Chris Getz.
What?
Could probably
fill
the spot, but well, physically, but he can't play the position. So.
My thought, I would love to see Christian Colon come up and get a shot. He's not ready, nowhere near ready, but maybe come up as a utility guy and get ready, or does he need more time in Omaha to play? We'll talk more about that on the other side, along with we'll give Rustin the hard questions we've been giving everybody else about the Frank White situation and All-Star Game 2012. Be right back on the other side.
Hey, Troy, what are you doing this weekend?
Going to grab a beer somewhere. What'd you have in mind?
I heard about this awesome new bar downtown. It's called Rage. The waitresses have a contest to see who has the most piercing.
No, man, that's not really my scene.
Well, there's another bar close by called Spit Cup. Check it out. The bartenders wear chaps, and every hour they shoot a guy.
No, seriously, I just want a bar where I can sit down and watch the game.
Okay, I've got just the place. It's called Lilac. You sit on pillows and you drink from eucalyptus leaves.
No, Ned, but I just want a place where I can get a cheap drink and watch the football game.
Okay, I got it. This place, it's got a TV. It's called 816. Limitatosis. All their drinks come in NBA hats.
Man, I just want a place like Kelly's.
Oh, you mean Kelly's Westport Inn? No, they've got all the basketball and bowl game. They've even got a heated roof. The view is really nice, too, if you know what I'm saying. Why didn't you just say you wanted to go to Kelly's?
Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road. Make it your place to go any time of the week. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
Big Ned Minute.
Oh, who did that?
Welcome back in to the Royal Man Report. That was another fantastic Fake Ned Minute by Fake Ned Yost.
Boom.
You were boom Yosted, everybody. Boom Yosted.
Boom Fake Ned Yost.
Boom Fake Ned Yosted is going to be like the next Rickroll.
The next big thing.
Next big thing.
Can we dance again?
I fear for our futures. And he's dancing
Rustin
again.
Dance with me. Rustin is a fantastic dancer. I've seen him on the dance floor. He is outstanding, by the way.
That's actually true.
So we got one segment remaining here with Rustin Dodd of the Kansas City Star. You can get his work at royalsblog.kansascity.com. And if you're watching live at royalmanreport.com, you see that on your screen right now. So it's handy like that. You can actually just click right on the screen, and it will take you there if you click on the link. So back in here, we're gonna finish up what we were talking about before and then roll right into a couple other things, and then we'll let Fake Ned add in with some silly questions here because that's what Fake Ned does best. And so we were talking about Christian Colon. Where do you see Christian Colon at least starting in 2012?
Well, that's a good question. I would like to actually ask somebody that question soon, but I haven't had the chance to lately. I would guess maybe that he would go back to Northwest Arkansas for another half season. There's guys in the organization, there's people that are still very high on him that think that he might be the second baseman of the future, and not Giavitella, and that he'll be ready in a year, year and a half. He just hasn't hit in the minor league level. I mean, he just hasn't hit at all. And that was really, I think, you know, as much as he was a solid guy defensively and a leader and a winner and all those things the Royals love to talk about, and he was that, you know, if you talk to people in college, he just hasn't hit, and that was supposed to be really his tool, that he would have some power and some pop at a middle infield position, along with everything else. So I think maybe, you know, he's old, you know, for a guy, you know, in his second year of, or third year of, you know, minor league baseball, but he's still, you know, early in his career. So maybe there's time for him to kind of figure it out at the plate. But I would guess that he would go back to Northwest Arkansas.
Well, he's a friend of the show because when we started doing this 7-8 months ago, it's been a while.
It was March.
Yeah, when it was just Mike and I doing this, we had him on as a guest in the final segment of our first show. So we're all pretty excited about that one. And that show, we need to get back up somewhere because we don't even have it up online anymore.
Yeah. Change servers.
Yeah, change servers. We're honest around here. We're not a professional show by any means. We're having a good time and doing the best we can.
Fake net is shocked.
Right, and doing the best we can. But unfortunately, we don't have the server space to keep every episode online. So if there is any of the episodes that you want that are not online anymore, let us know, and I will get those to you. But I do not have enough space on my server for everything. So continuing with the Royals talk here, let's start with the big conversation the last month. We've had Joel Goldberg in here. He talked about it the week it happened, actually. Talk about perfect timing for us. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Mellinger talked about it last week. But Frank White and Kevin Shank let go by the Royals. What was your thoughts when you heard that Frank was let go?
It would just seem like, even as I got into talking to some people and calling people and kind of figuring out what happened, this has probably been said, you know, dozens and dozens of times, but it just seemed unnecessary. You know, unnecessary to fire Frank White and to get rid of him, but unnecessarily for it to go down like it did. It just didn't seem like it was just kind of, you know, unsavory, not only for Shank and White's perspective, but also just for that, you know, the Royals had to have known that it was going to cause, momentary uproar, and they still went along, you know, they still went ahead and did it. So, it just seems like it's something that the Royals really didn't need to do, or at least didn't need to do it like they did it. There's obviously, you know, you hear that, there's two sides to every story, and perhaps Frank could have handled things better too, but it just seems like for an organization that's where they're at right now, that's one of the last things they should have done.
I think that was one of the things that we've talked about it on the show that just kind of hit it, just the poor timing of everything. And something we talked about in Mellinger, but I'd be curious to get your thoughts on it. What do you think as far as how the Royals have, like, they've garnered a lot of goodwill so far, just this past year with all the farm system and everything, but that kind of derailed a little bit. I mean, what's your thoughts on, have they as an organization, how they've kind of embraced everything and tried to use that going forward? I mean, are they trying to take that kind of groundswell of positiveness, are they using that correctly going forward, you think, or have they kind of mishandled it a little bit? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, taking the White situation out of the equation, I think they've done a pretty good job in the last year. I mean, I really, you know, for, you know, what they've done, I just think, you know, you get into discussions about professional organizations, the Chiefs, Royals, whoever, about, you know, if they're doing things the right way. You know, are they, you know, handling the fans correctly? You know, are they, you know, thinking of the fans first? And when it comes down to it, you know, most organizations, they just don't think of the fans first, which is okay if you win and you produce and you do things. You know, Royals fans just want the Royals to win more than anything. And, you know, you get talks about, you know, are the Royals, you know, do they do stupid stuff from time to time? Yeah, but most businesses do. Most organizations do it. They just need to actually win, and it will solve everything. I mean, it doesn't matter what they do off the field. I mean, last year, the Chiefs went 10-6, won the division, and there was a lot less, you know, animosity. There was a lot less other stuff going on. that people were talking about. This year, you're going to talk about how the Chiefs do stupid stuff, how they don't spend enough money, how they, you know, just win. That's my big deal. I mean, and I don't like when a lot of times people come from the outside and because an organization doesn't win or they don't do this thing, you know, other things, that then they point at, you know, things they do off the field or things they do on the business side. It's all about winning. I mean,
well, it gets compounded too because you got the futility of the Chiefs the last 2 months. Then you had the Fan Fest canceled. Then you had the Frank White thing, and people don't really care what organization is screwing up. It just seemed to be like this giant ball of suck for the last 2 months of just tone deafness for the fans, and so that was part of our grievances, I guess.
No, I mean, I think it's all legitimate. I just think from the Royals' end, you know, the one thing that they can do for the fans is, you know, forget about all the giveaways or the good public relations or anything. Just, you know, just win. I mean, that's the whole deal. And I feel, sound like I'm like Herm Edwards on ESPN right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just win, baby.
But, yeah, I mean, that's – it just – it seems like it's a debate and a topic that, you know, you discuss when a team loses. But when a team wins, mm-hmm. people don't talk about, you know, their PR, if they're doing things the right way. I don't know.
Yeah, it's – I think it ends up – fans will forgive a lot of that stuff if there's a good product on the field. And, you know, look at the attendance last year where, you know, everything really increased in August and September, which you never see that with the Royals, but there's a lot of excitement and the team was playing very well. Now, that same team is going to be coming back in 2012 almost entirely. Like, there are a few additions in, you know, the Milky trade and signing Jonathan Broxton, but for the most part, we're returning the same team from August and beyond. So going into 2012, what are your expectations for the Royals and, you know, any of the players individually and the team as a whole?
Well, I could probably talk about this for an hour, but I'll be quick. You know, I was thinking about this the other day after the winter meetings and after Ned Yost said he expected him to be, I forget exactly the words he used, but he said much better than 500 or something like that. So obviously he thinks that they're going to be much better than 500, whatever that means. And I was thinking, well, is that realistic? And, you know, if you look at just the pure numbers of it, the Royals should have been a 78-win team last year. If you're just, you know, looking at the stats, looking at the runs scored against runs against. So that's a 78-win team. Okay, so let's say, you know, they improve by 5 or 6 games. Well, that's an 83 or 84-win team. That's not a lot to ask. Now, the one question I have is that just guys like Frank Coor, Gordon, and then some of the younger guys, you know, can they replicate what they did? Are any of the young guys going to take a step, you know, up? Is Hosmer going to have a sophomore slump? Is Moustakas going to find out, you know, how to hit off-speed pitching? You know, that kind of stuff, you don't know. And so maybe, you know, that counteracts, you know, the offense, what they lose in offense, you know, counteracts what they've improved in pitching, and they're still a 75 to 78 win team. And that would not surprise me at all. But I just think if things go right for this team, they're legitimately a team that, like, 81 wins is, like, they're neutral. You know, that's the middle zone. So if they get lucky and when they have – or, you know, things fall more on the, you know, the positive side of things, well, then you're an 85, 88-win team, and then, you know, who knows, you know?
I can't even imagine that. That's be awesome.
81 wins, going back to what you said about just win, baby. 81 wins will pack that stadium. Because you think about how much they were showing up, people were showing up at the end of last year, 25,000 people for a Monday game and a Tuesday game after school had started. You know, people were showing up, and the team wasn't very good. And then last year at FanFest, Ned was telling us that the team was going to be better than expected. I think he came through on that. Now, is better than expected where they were last year, so can he get away with better than 500 this year? Can he actually produce a second year in a row being a Notre Dame of baseball there?
Well, I mean, we'll see, but I think the most important thing for this team, and, you know, not to put too much pressure on a team or a one season in the grand scheme of things, but the first 2 or 3 months of that season are more important than anything because, you know, if they win 81 games, that's a success. But if they're 10 games under in June and then they, you know, go 10 games over the rest of the way, it's a lot different than being 10 games over in, you know, July 1st and then ending 81-81. I mean, so really I think they can go 81-81. You know, that's fine. But they really need to win early, if they really want to capitalize on, you know, like a great season at the, you know, attendance gates and all that stuff, they really need to get out fast. That's my big thing for this year. I think is they can win 81 to 82 or 83 games, but they need to win them early and then maybe, you know, stumble down the stretch.
This is all great and good and very positive conversation, but I think what the listeners of this podcast have come to expect from us are the hard-hitting questions. Now, last week, earlier in the week, we had your counterpart, your peer, your comrade at the Kansas City Star, Sam Mellinger, on the show. And we asked him one simple question. Who gets carded more in bars, him or you? And he refused to answer the question.
Yeah, what was...
He refused to answer the question. He almost got up and stormed off. He said, listen... You know, I don't really remember what his answer was. He just got all huffy.
He just said,
and you know,
he kind of said that he didn't really go to bars a lot, and you did more.
Yeah,
bar
you
hopping
did a lot of bar
does.
Hopping. I don't really know what the implication with that is.
So first off, he let us know that you were an alcoholic, but he never did answer if either of you, who gets carded more between the two of you.
So therefore, I will ask now you the same question: who gets carded more? Because you both look 14. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, I didn't understand
who gets carded more, you or Sam?
Sam looks like he's a handsome guy, but he definitely looks young for his age. But you know, in some like Middle Eastern countries or Asian countries, Sam could probably be my dad. You know, so
I don't know what to do.
What Asian countries are these?
So. But and so
did
I did
they
not,
get the internet? Because
yeah, I don't get how it was that difficult of a question. Basically, we'll put it this way: if Sam has never not been carded, then I get carded more.
Okay, all right.
Well, that makes sense.
Was that so
no,
difficult?
No, it wasn't difficult to answer at all. So, but
he's big time, so he can just dodge questions when he wants to. No comment.
Do you know who you're talking to?
Yeah, he pulled one of those. So, thank you for answering the question, sir. Yeah. I very much appreciate that.
It's kind of like he said somebody was saying something about Frank White one time, and somebody goes, who does this guy think he is? And Mellinger answered, he thinks he's Frank White. And it's the same kind of thing. You know, Sam Mellinger, you asked that question. It was like, who does this guy think? Well, he's Sam Mellinger.
And we'd ask Bob Dutton the same question. You know, we'd ask who gets carded more, Bob Dutton or Sam Mellinger or Rustin Dodd.
I'm pretty sure that's a safe question.
We could ask him his opinion of which of the two get carded more. I mean, he knows everything else going on.
Who's the better baseball writer? Rustin Dodd, Bob Dutton, or Sam Mellinger?
I can honestly answer that and say that I would be number three on that list. For sure. I mean, I'm not even being like that's not false modesty. That's not any. That's like the legit harsh truth. Yeah, that's the way it is.
Right. I mean, the city is blessed with some really good writers. I mean, and even
and
before,
this is after Posnanski left,
right?
You know?
I mean,
a history of great sports writers, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even
You know, how does that happen? You have Posnanski here. Then he leaves. Mellinger takes over his spot. Then Rustin steps into what Mellinger did, and it's just like you keep going forward. It's great. I mean, I don't understand how.
But the more important question is the St. Thomas Aquinas JV boys basketball team. How do you think they're going to do this year?
I think they. You know that outlet. Put it this way.
The fact that he was going to try to answer that was pretty incredible. Rustin. Our good friend Patty Casey, who's a doorman at Harry's, would like to know if you go into Harry's down in Westport at all.
Yeah, I do, actually. I was there the other night.
Then he says that you've definitely been carded at Harry's, because he would definitely card you and Sam at Harry's. So
he might have even been the door guy when I went in there.
He looks a lot like Chris
tall.
And I, except for he's like 6.5 feet tall, I
Much
swear.
Better looking.
Yes, so tell us a little bit about what you have coming up.
We'll see. I don't know. One thing that I might be doing for tomorrow is, I don't know if you guys even realize this, tomorrow is actually the anniversary of the Grinke trade. One-year anniversary. Not that it's a big deal, but I might kind of look into that and just look at, you know, 1 year out, how last year went for the Brewers and the Royals, and then, you know, pushing forward to.
You think it might be the 1 year pre-anniversary of the other Grinke trade that brings him back?
Well, hopefully, maybe they could sign him. You know, they wouldn't have to trade him. But
well, he doesn't have an agent, so apparently he's working himself. And that dude has something special going on upstairs. We'll say that. So
those negotiations would be awesome. I would love to be a fly in that room.
Do I get a lifetime subscription to World of Warcraft?
5,000 yes. gold.
Do I get an automatic upgrade?
Right, right.
How many samurai swords are included in this contract?
So we're running out of time here. Rustin, thanks so much for coming in. Mike, you want to do a quick hit on anything at Kings of Kaufman?
We actually brought in two more writers, Alan Barrington and Mike Vimosi, so their first column should be up maybe even tonight.
Awesome. Come join us tomorrow out of the Sprint Center. Hit us up, Royal Man Report, on Twitter. Let us know, or royalmanreport@gmail.com. Any thoughts you have, anything you want to see from this show next year. Until then, have a happy holidays. I'm Casey Royal Man. We got Fake Ned Yost. We've got Jeff Herr, the Jeff Report. We've got Michael Engel, and, of course, Rustin Dodd. Thank you so much. Thank you, the listeners, for being part of this for the last year. We'll have something for you on Christmas. We'll have the live show at Kelly's on the 1st of January. So come out to Kelly's. Visit us. We'll probably be there all day, and it'll probably be a quite drunk version of Fake Ned Yost. Until next year, this is the Royal Man Report, and we'll see you on the other side. Go Royals. What you trying to be yourself for?
We're excited to have an exclusive interview with the new iPhone 4 assistant, Siri. Hello, Siri. How are you doing today?
Thank you. It's nice for me to be here.
Siri, you've been pretty busy with the new iPhone launch. What do you do for fun?
It's just been crazy around here. I've been looking for a place to get away and wind down, but I haven't been able to find anything my style on the plaza.
Well, have you tried Kelly's Westport Inn?
I show Kelly's Westport Inn to be at the corner of Westport Road and Pennsylvania Avenue.
Got way more than that. It's been voted by The Pitch as one of the best places to meet guys in Kansas City. It's got a great laid-back vibe, plenty of TVs to watch sports, an awesome pizza place in the back, and plenty of drink specials during the week.
You say it's a nice place to meet guys? Accessing. This sounds like the place for me. Shutting down now.
You can't shut down. If you want to meet Siri and other great Kansas Cityans, check out Kelly's Westport Inn, 500 Westport Road in beautiful, laid-back Westport. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.